Well, good morning. God bless. Welcome to our fellowship, Sunday morning fellowship. Mary and I are here in Payton, Colorado with Michael and Sarah and Brielle. We came in for Brielle's birthday and to celebrate that. She's 11 now. And we had a wonderful time, just terrific time. So I'm very grateful and thankful that the Lord allowed us to do that again. That was fun. And it is fun. It's nice to be together with the family. I'm just very grateful. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get started. I'm going to teach, and then we'll have a time for prayer and manifestations and get on with our day. But I'm truly grateful that y'all got here, and it's the first time I'm teaching from Colorado. I wanted to try it out, see how it worked. So, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. You and you alone, Father, are the one who has given us your great grace and tender mercies. You are a Father and a God that delivers. You are the one who is to be praised and to be glorified. And we owe you everything, my Father. Help us to put you first. Help us, my God, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Help us, my God, to stay focused and not drift. And we need your help in everything we do, Father. Thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and everything that he has done and all that he has accomplished for us. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and tender mercies in sending him. And we are so looking forward to your sending him back for us, my God. And we can't wait for that great, wonderful day when our Lord will return and we will be changed and we will be with you and all those that love you, Father, forever and ever and ever. We're grateful and thankful for all of these things, my God. Thank you, Father, for taking care of my Mary. Thank you for the healing that she's received and for your continued healing in her life. Thank you, Father, for my family, for blessing everyone and taking care of them, especially my Brielle on her birthday. I thank you, Father, for the blessing that she is to me and Michael and Sarah, their home, my God. Thank you for their love, the joy of fellowship with them. Thank you for Zach and Christine, taking care of their lives, my God, bringing us all closer to you. Thank you for blessing them, my God, with the desires of their heart. And I ask, Father, that you provide for us all and help us all, but most of all, teach us your word, Father. Teach us to walk in your in walk with you by the Spirit of God. And please take care of all those that are sick and hurting, Father, Susie Knowlton and Mimi. I ask you, Father, for your love, for Iris Jumper, and for blessing her and Patty Carroll. Thank you, my God, for your help and blessings, my God, around Jeremiah Knowlton, my God, and taking care of him. And for all of your children, my God, for all their needs, bless them and take care of them. Thank you for the food that's on their table, for the roofs that are over their head, and for the jobs that they work at, my God. I thank you for taking care of each and every aspect of their lives. They are your people, Father, and I pray that they look to you to provide. And I love you and I praise you, my God, for these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 28. And Psalm 28 is kind of special to me, and for a number of reasons. I'll explain a little bit, verse 6 and specifically. But I don't want to just teach verse 6 today, so I wanted to go through what God put on my heart here. It says in verse 1, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, unto thee will I cry, O Yahweh, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the works of their hands. Render to them their deserts, what they deserve, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operations of his hands. He shall destroy them and shall not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise him. Yahweh is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed, his Christ. Save thy people. Bless thy inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever." A beautiful psalm. That last verse is something that in the King James, it really doesn't give you the full effect. You know, in that last verse in the Hebrew, it would render it, you know, "Save thy people and bless thy inheritance. Feed them." God is the one who feeds his children. "Also lift them up." The word "lift them" is, you know, you get this mind picture of a lot of times in churches of Jesus carrying a lamb, or, you know, petting a fuzzy animal, you know, being nice, right? But that's not the kind of lifting up it is. It's lifting up and taking care of someone who can't take care of themselves. It's not just to be nice. It's literally helping a cripple. It's literally helping someone who can't help themselves, lifting them up. So when you read that, it says, "Feed them also and lift them up," because they can't take care of themselves forever. And that's until all eternity. You know, a lot of us have, like David here is having a really, it's not a really good day for him. You know, verse 1 says, "God, don't be silent unto me." I mean, he's crying to God. He wants to be heard. And it seems like God is silent. You know, I'm all alone. And every one of us has experienced things like this in our lives, and times like this in our lives. And God is always there, but we kind of feel. Feelings are not something that you should live by. We sort of feel like, well, you know, he's quiet to me. He's silent to me. He isn't talking to me. He isn't letting me know exactly. I need this answer right now. I'm disturbed. You know, things are not right. Because we are those. We are his people. He's got to feed us. He's got to be the one that lifts us up, because if he doesn't help us get to eternity, we ain't going to get there. If he doesn't help us throughout each and every one of our days, we're going to be discouraged and fall on the side. He is the one who has to and does take care of his children. He takes care of his people. And that whole thing, Go back to verse 1. It says, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. You know, David believed in God. David had a great relationship with God. And yet David experienced this thing. Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto, I will become like them that go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication, my specific request, when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. Draw not away. Draw me not away. Don't let me be swept away like the ocean sweeps everything away, the good and the bad. Don't let me get swept away with the evil of this world. And, you know, there's plenty of that out there now. There's plenty of evil out there. And sometimes I feel like we're all getting swept up in it. And it's affecting us all. And people around us, everywhere you go, they're feeling it. They're angry. They're hurting. And sometimes it feels like we're going to get swept away with it. We need God's help. We cry unto him. So this is not so much a psalm of victory. It's a plea. It's a cry to continue to help me in everything I'm doing and everything that I need. And then it says back up here in verse 4, give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness for their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. You know, verse 3, I forgot to read that one. It says, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speaketh peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. You know, they talk one way. People in the world, they talk one way. They give you all these wonderful promises. And then what they do is completely different. Oh, I'll take care of that. And then you trust them to get it done. And then it never gets done. In fact, it gets worse. Because they're just going after their own evil endeavors. And David's prayer was, give them according to what they deserve. And then verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord. They don't believe his word. They don't honor God. They don't hold him in the proper place that he deserves. They don't fear God. He shall destroy them and not build them up. And I said to you, verse 6 is real special to me. You know, it's kind of funny that this whole thing here, this particular psalm talks of a time when, you know, you're in need and, you know, you don't know what to do and I don't have the answers. And Mary and I were, a long time ago, we were going to go into the Way Corps, our training program, to learn the word. And what we needed was $26,000 to go through the thing. And I was determined to get the 26 grand all by myself, you know, pay for it, not ask anybody for money. I hate asking people for money, in case you hadn't noticed. Not ask anybody for a blessed thing and just trust God and believe God and get everything together. If God wants me to go, he can give it to me. That was my attitude. And I watched many wonderful scenarios that happened in that year that all of them failed. All of them failed. They failed gloriously. And I learned a lot of spiritual things with each failure. It wasn't for nothing. Lessons that I kept a lifetime. So I was at the end of it, and I was really coming to the end of my rope. You know, God hadn't given me the answer. I didn't know what to do. I knew that he told me he wanted me to do this, and yet I didn't understand what I was doing wrong. I knew that, you know, I was down there on the beach and he said, go and do this thing. And so I thought, well, this has got to be easy then. They'll give me what I need. Like I said, I learned a lot of great things. So I'm praying in my apartment in Rosedale, Queens. I'm praying at the kitchen table and I'm pouring my heart out to the Lord. And then I'm praying probably an hour, whatever, I don't know. It wasn't the significance of the amount of time praying wasn't important. The fact was, I was just pouring my heart out to God. And then I heard audibly from God. Turn to Psalm, all right? Turn to Psalm 28:6. That's it. I didn't know what was in Psalm 28:6. I started looking for my Bible. I opened the Bible. And then it says, blessed be Yahweh, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. God told me to look at a verse that I didn't even know what it said. And that was the answer to my prayer. And I've never forgot that. And God provided. It wasn't the way I wanted him to provide. It wasn't according to how I wanted to see things done. But you know what? Mary and I got there. And we completed it, and it was good. So that verse is very, very special to me. The Lord is my strength, my shield. See, Alan, just because God inspires you to do something doesn't mean that you know exactly how this is going to come to pass. I thought of that. You know, just because God tells you a specific thing or inspires you to do a specific thing, do not think that it's going to happen the way you want it to happen. It just doesn't go that way most of the time. And then it says, the Lord is my strength, my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. With the song will I praise him. And I praise him all these years for all the things that he's done. I never forgot that Psalm 28:6. Never forgot the deliverance that he gave. I may have forgotten how long I prayed or some of the details or a lot of the different other things, the stupid things that I did. Went out and asked God to buy a lottery ticket. Oh, I can do that. Didn't work out. The Lord is their strength. You got to ask yourself this morning. All of you are here because you want to hear God's word. You're here in this fellowship. You've been here in this church. You're either learning it. I don't know exactly who's here and who's not. That's the terrible thing about Zoom, but I do know this, that you all have a desire to learn God's word. And he will be your strength if you want him to be your strength. If you will humble yourself before him, if you will yell out to him, even though it doesn't seem like he's talking to you, he's silent unto you. And you will get to that place where you just know that he is your strength. And trust him. Then I am helped. You will be helped. And like I said, that last verse is the one that inspired this teaching this morning. Save thy people, bless thy inheritance. Feed them. Feed them also and lift them up. The people who can't walk, the people who can't get there without your assistance all the way to eternity. Help us all the way to eternity, forever. Let's go to Daniel. I asked Brielle last night what she would like to learn in the scriptures, and she said about Daniel and the lion's den, and then I had to figure out how to fit it in the teaching that I wanted to do, and it fits really beautifully. So in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was, talk about a guy who lived in a situation where it was less than ideal. His life was ripped away from his family. They changed his name. They changed his language. They forced him to live in a foreign country. They took him away from his mom and dad and the place that he grew up, all of his friends, because the nation had sinned against God, and they went into captivity. And yet Daniel kept his heart. He really wanted to serve God. So God took care of Daniel. He took care of Daniel, and God took care of all the people who really did want to love him. And it came a little later on that he was working, and he was one of the best men around. He had great integrity. He had so much integrity that the king at the time, Darius, wanted Daniel to be over the entire kingdom. And it says here, in verse 1, it says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might have account unto them." They have to give an account unto them. Everybody's got to be watched over, because people are, guess what? People steal. People do bad things. So you have to have people who watch you so that you do a good job, and then you can report to the king. So they wanted that they might give an account to them, and the king should have no damage. This is called good management. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents." This king thought, this man is the best there is, right? He was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor offense, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. This kind of integrity in an individual, you know what integrity means, Brielle? This kind of integrity is something that is precious. Comes from really believing and loving God, wanting to do the right thing, wanting to you live your life according to God's word. You do what God says. You honest. You do a good day's work for a good day's pay. That kind of integrity, you don't find that a lot day to day on all around you. Sometimes you find it, and you got to reward that kind of integrity. And God's going to reward him, right? The king's going to reward him because he everything he did, he never did anything wrong. He never stole. He always did the king's business. He always took care of the king's property. He always spoke well, and he managed the affairs of the king like they were his affairs. But the other guys didn't like that. The other guys who were managing the king's business, we don't like this guy. First of all, we can't get away with nothing. Just like the world we live in now. We can't get away with that. We got to find something against this Daniel so we can disgrace him and get him out of the way. So then they said, so they sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Now, I'm telling you, you can find, you know, if you look through my taxes, you can probably find an error. You couldn't find anything in Daniel's. and just a mistake. I mean, that would have been a big deal, even if just a human mistake. They couldn't find a mistake. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it in against him concerning the law of his God. He is so good at what he does and has so much integrity. He dots every I. He crosses every T in his documents. Every word that he speaks, he keeps. He's a man of his word. We got to find it against him so we got to trick him. We got to trick the king. Because he worships another God. And we can do that. So these presidents and the princes, they assembled together in the king. And they said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captives have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree. That whosoever shall ask any petition or of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You know what they did? They went into the king and then they started, you know what, king? You are so important. We ought to write it, make it a law. That if anybody asks of any god, nobody should ask any god anything. Any other man, anything, because you are so important and you are this great and glorious king. You should be the only one that people ask anything of for 30 days. And the king just fell for it. His ego fell for it. He didn't see the trickery in it. He just thought, wow, that's really great. I am that good. I am that important. And they tricked him. They tricked the king. All these men who wanted Daniel's job tricked the king. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it in writing that it change not according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. That means there was a specific thing, the Medes and the Persians, where even the king himself couldn't change the law again. Once he signed it, even the king couldn't change it. That's kind of stupid, right? But it was out there. I think sometimes we got the same kind of people thinking the same way. Once you do something bad and it's not working, they still keep doing it. Verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew what was going on, and he knew that what it meant for him. When he knew that the writing was signed, and he went into the house. And his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't even try to change his behavior. He just simply continued to do what he had done before. He didn't try to hide it. In fact, he left the windows open. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and they spake to the king and they accused him. They said, look, Daniel's doing it. He's not obeying this decree. He's got to go in the den of lions. Look at verse 14. And the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. He knew he got tricked. He knew he got taken. His best man, the man he wanted to put over the entire kingdom, is going to get killed now because of what he did. And those guys tricked him into doing it. And he knew it. And the king, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know you, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou continually, he will deliver thee. That was it. That was all the king could do. The king knew Daniel was the best man. He knew that he had a God who could deliver. He wanted to put him over the entire kingdom, but he got tricked and he couldn't do anything to change it. The king had his hands tied. He couldn't do anything to change it. These guys came up and said, come on, king, the law of the Medes and the Persians, you got to do this. So they put him in the den of lions. And the last thing the king said to Daniel before they closed the door, your God can deliver you. And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went. He spent all night. He couldn't sleep. He's pacing back and forth. You know, what's going to happen? What's doing with Daniel? Then he comes back the next morning. In verse 20, it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God had sent his angel and had shut the lion's mouth. And they have not hurt me, for as much as before him, innocency. Before God Almighty, I am innocent. Innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O King, have I done no hurt. I have my integrity with my God and with you. There's nothing wrong found in me. So God sent his angel to deliver him. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no matter of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He believed in the Lord. And the king, and I love this, and the king commanded that they brought those men which accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, and their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery over them and break their bones in pieces and ever came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius makes a decree everybody ought to know, worship and fear the Lord God of Daniel. You know what? Daniel did everything right. Okay. But this thing was planned. It was planned by evil men. They tricked the king. Daniel had nothing to do with it. Daniel had nothing to do with this. They tricked the king. It was all politics, and it was completely irrational, and yet the king couldn't do a blessed thing about it. You know, sometimes life is like that. You can't do a blessed thing about what's going on around you. The only thing you can do is you can live your life with integrity according to God's word, and you continue to live your life with integrity and pray to God. When they tell you to don't not to pray, you pray. You pray. You serve the Lord God Almighty. You don't care what anybody else has got to say when it comes to him. You pray. And you keep your integrity with God. And he's the one that's got to carry us. Because I can't carry myself through this. He's the one that's got to deliver. He's the one that's got to feed me. He's the one that's got to take care of me. I don't care what the world is doing all around you. You maintain your integrity with God and in your affairs, and God Almighty will be glorified, and he will help you in everything that you do. Everything that you do. Go to Jeremiah 33. In verse 1, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court. You know what shut up in the court means? He was in prison. This is a happy day. Jeremiah was in prison. God gives Jeremiah a revelation. And Jeremiah's in jail. Well, wait a minute. I mean, isn't there something wrong with this picture? I'm working for the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and I'm still in jail. Yeah. See, this is what the scriptures show and teach. All of God's people have suffered through the centuries and have been treated badly through the centuries. And yet, they have to go through what they go through because they're still working for the Lord. They're still living for him. It's not going to change that way. You and I go through tough things at times. That doesn't mean that everybody in jail is innocent and a believer. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that everybody who goes through a tough time is a righteous, but I'm saying that the righteous go through those kinds of things. So he's in jail. Verse 2, thus said the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou know not. You call unto him, he will answer you, and he will show you marvelous and wonderful things. You know, the people in Jeremiah's time, God says, call unto me, I'll show you these great things. And you know what the people did? They didn't call. They just said. So they got nothing. But that's still a promise made to every one of God's people. You call unto me, you pray unto me, you ask, and I'll show you great and wonderful things. Great and wonderful things. Some of these, I want to take you to the 23rd Psalm. Very familiar Psalm. But it goes right along with God caring for us, carrying us. You know, with Daniel, you get to see a really righteous man who is being treated, and they're against him. The whole bunch is against him. But yeah, he's just keeping his integrity, even unto death, if that's what happens, great. But you know what? I stand before God. God had things for Daniel to do, so Daniel lived. In the 23rd Psalm, we get to see a picture of God here, a really beautiful picture of God and what he's about. It says, Yahweh is my shepherd. God is like my shepherd. A shepherd takes care of the flock. Shepherd, he just takes care of his sheep. He takes care of his sheep. And we are his sheep. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is going to, our Father is going to provide everything that we need, guide us through everything that we go through. He's going to feed us. He's going to correct us. He's going to protect us. He's going to watch over us. And we're going to be with him forever. He's a loving, loving Father. And no matter what you and I go through, so, you know, we always talk about our great days, right? No, very few people talk about their bad days. And maybe that's good, you know, that you talk about your great days and what God's done for you. But, you know, every single one of us have had very, very low days. And the same Father is right there taking care of us every single moment of the time. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Got another real pretty picture, beautiful illustration, an example of what God has done for us, how he is the one who lifts up those who can't take care of themselves. All the way through eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he made alive, quickened. He has made you alive who were dead Now, that I'd say that's lifting somebody up. You got a dead carcass, and he picks you up and makes you alive. That's a picture. He makes you alive. In trespasses and sins, we were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in the past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, what do they call that? When you give somebody something for a job, a resume. That's our resume. Oh God, you know, I should go to eternity with you because, well, here, I walked with the adversary. I fulfilled the lusts of the flesh. I did everything I wasn't supposed to do. You know, in fact, I was working for the other God. God knew all of that. And yet it says, but God. Now, what does but mean? What does the word but mean? But in contrast, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. He wants to show us all of the things in the ages to come. We're talking about, we have something coming that's even better than what we got now. Right? I mean, it's going to be really, really good. All right? But it says that he might show the exceeding riches. I mean, this is not just a little bit of riches. This is exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of your own work. Lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, you know, we are his workmanship now. If I let him work within me, he's going to teach me what to do, how to do it. He's going to help me maintain my integrity. He's going to help me maintain the love that I should walk in, to walk like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is ultimately in the New Testament, the way we want to walk. He's going to help me do all of those things, you know, because I'm not capable of doing it all by myself. I can't do this by my own work. I can't, even with the spirit that he's given us. You know, I choose to walk by it, but I still need God's help to do it. I renew my mind to his word. I know what it says. I want to put it all in my mind, but I still need God's help to get it done. I need your help, Lord, to love this one. I mean, sometimes it's hard. He will help us do every single one. He will lift us up. He will carry us all the way through to eternity. And there's a reward at the end here. The exceeding riches. The last verse I want to go to is in 1 Peter chapter 5. It says here, this is written specifically to elders, but I think it applies. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Again, the feeding. Remember we saw that in that psalm? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. It's all going to be worth it. When he returns, our Lord returns, the chief shepherd, you're going to receive that crown of glory. So whether they lock you up or whether they treat you badly, whatever, you just stay faithful to God. You stay, keep your integrity. You just ask God for his help and you rely upon him. In whatever situation, whether you get thrown into a lion's den or you're sitting at home eating at your kitchen table, God is going to help you. And he will always help us. He will never forsake us. He is our shepherd, and I shall not want. So that's what I wanted to share with you all this morning.